stretches over this arena. When your neck was drawn with the sword within Hussein of Fatima Shetis, and when your head was separated within Hussein and raised on the spear, and when the hands of your brother came back with no water, and Abbas said his final farewell to Hussein, his master. Karbala, how did you greet him? Karbala, how did you greet him? And when he fell, how did you meet him? And when Hussein needed the water, Al-Khame, why won't you feed him? Al-Khame, why won't you feed him? I'm calling Gontaha's grandson. I'm calling Gontaha's grandson. I'm falling on my knees and hands. I'm calling up to the one who Adam called walk into your land. Adam called walk into your land. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy. Karbala, Mawla, 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 the son of Zahra, 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 Zahra. Martyred, 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 martyred. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. Ben al-Haramain, we'll lose my voice calling your name. Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy. Karbala, Mawla, 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 the son of Zahra, 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 Zahra. Martyred, 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 martyred.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Zainab has fallen, Hussein's back broken. Oh dear uncle, you are our chosen. Has the flag fallen? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein. No need for water, I want my uncle. You left with two arms, returned with no arms, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. You left with my wish to bring us water, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. But now
على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers and sisters, respected Sheikh Salim, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And on behalf of the Light of Guidance, I welcome everybody and I thank everybody again for coming out for the Muharram program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for our grief for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Inshallah, to begin the program, we're going to welcome our dear brother Ali Hamdani to recite from the Holy Quran after a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Please, can I have another salawat?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد الذي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين تغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
آل محمد وعجل فرجهم أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد inshallah, just really quickly, the announcements, I'm going to go through them in the interest of time. To please keep the face masks on, and that we have the cafeteria downstairs set up if the kids need some more space. The live stream is running downstairs, and then we also have the room right in the front at the entrance for any nursing mothers if that's needed, and the live stream is also playing there as well. And without any further ado, inshallah, it's my honor to welcome Sheikh Salim with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين Respected brothers and sisters, we've gathered here on the eve of the seventh, what will be the seventh night or the eighth night of Muharram, the seventh day. May Allah reward all of you for your participation, for your sincere intentions, and may Allah count you among the those who upheld the mission of the Ahlul Bayt and those who remembered. We express our condolences to the Imam of our time, Ajallahu Farajahu Sharif, on the martyrdom of his great-grandfather. And we hope that these majalis and these gatherings are a source of pleasure to the Imam of our time. The topic that we've been speaking about has to do with understanding some of the principles of living a life like the life of the Ahlul Bayt, the Husayni life, the life of the Imams. How is it that they lived? How is it that they would like us to live our lives? And we spoke about different principles that we have. The last one that we've been speaking about has to do with finding a type of happiness, not being in a state of depression. And we said that this is an issue which is plaguing our community. In order for us to be able to worship Allah the way we have to, not being in a state of contentment, being in a state of constant grief makes it difficult. And part of the strategy that we can take to address this problem is by looking at health and looking at well-being in a holistic way, not just saying that it has to do with germs and fighting them, not just that you act when you get sick, but rather you live a life where you commit yourself towards looking at your body and your soul as an amana from Allah. The holistic approach is one which says that you need to be humble to the way that you've been created. You can't just go about doing things the way that you want. You have to understand what are those parameters by which you've been created. Learn them, apply them, and use them to maintain that good health that you want to be having. Yesterday we spoke about one of those principles, which is the nourishing essentials. That the one we talked about yesterday had to do with regulating the amount that we eat, not eating too little, not eating too much, and some of the other principles related to that. Tonight, inshallah, I want to cover one of the other nourishing essentials. Before doing that, I want to begin by first quoting a couple of stories. The first one is a short story which is narrated in Al-Kafi, Volume 6. The hadith says that there was once one of the prophets who complained to Allah. So he's doing munajat with Allah and he complains to him. What is it that he's complaining about? He says, the hadith says that his complaint is about gham. The complaint is about sadness. Now, we know that the anbiya are at the highest level of servitude to Allah. They are not just ordinary believers. They have been appointed by God to play a role in guiding others. But here we have one of those people who is close to Allah and he's complaining about a type of sadness. And then the hadith says that Allah revealed to him that he should address that by adjusting something in his diet. Now, this is really interesting because that gives us a different perspective that even the anbiya could be afflicted with some bouts of sadness. You know, maybe today you were some type of depression. Okay, that's based on the hadith that's reported there. So that's one hadith that inshallah you can keep in mind. Now the second hadith has to do from the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yesterday we got a chance to share an incident from his life. Today I want to share another one. One time Imam Hussein alayhi salam was seen by somebody early in the morning or right at the top of the morning. And that person asks him, Kaifa asbahta, yabna Rasulullah. How is it that you entered this morning? Now, the response of Imam Hussein, maybe most likely you've heard this before, but I want to quote it and I want to look at it from a certain perspective. He answers, he says, Asbahtu wali rabbun fawqi wal naru amami wal mawtu yatlubuni wal hisabu muhdiqun bi wa ana murtahanun bi amali. This is the first part of his response. He says that I woke up and I have entered this morning and my situation is that I have a Lord who is above me meaning the Lord is in charge. And the fire is ahead of me, meaning that I'm waking up in this world, but my concern is about the hereafter. And death is seeking me, and the hisab, meaning like the reckoning, like when we have to actually be accountable for our deeds, that is something which is surrounding me, and it's my actions that I'm going to be asked about. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that hadith, but it's interesting how when the Imam alayhi salam is entering the morning, you see that his thoughts are directed in a certain way. You know, even though he's starting the day, his focus is on the akhirah. We're going to get back to that, inshallah, in the course of today's discussion. Today, I would like to, inshallah, speak about one of the very important nourishing essentials, which is that of sleep. And once again, this is one of those issues which, when we talk to people who are in the community, they are people who are aware of the major issues that our youth, you know, our community members in general across the country are facing. They say that this is one of those things which is a crisis situation. Inshallah, I'm going to be quoting some statistics to make it clear exactly what I'm going to be talking about. But first, I want to just bring your attention to some of the verses of the Quran about this activity, which a lot of times we just take for granted. You know, it's like one of those things. It's like, what? You know, like a lot of our focus is on what we're going to do when we wake up. But if you look at just percentage-wise, at about one-third of your entire existence is spent doing this thing called sleeping. So that's a lot of time. And so it'd be worth understanding, well, what is the Quranic perspective on it? What are some of those principles that the Quran lays out for sleeping? So I want to quote some ayat. The first is from Surah Al-Furqan. Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Allah is the one who has made the night and the day as khilfa. Khilfa comes it's the same root as khalifa. A khalifa is somebody who is the successor. So here, the verse says that the night and day are like successors of one another. One of them comes, the other one goes. That one is going to go, then the other one comes back again. And even though it's a phenomenon that, you know, we just kind of passes by a lot of time, we don't really notice it. But in our hadith, we're actually told that there's special adhkar that are good to recite when these happen. We're supposed to notice this occurrence. And in some of the stories you hear about people who have been gifted insight, they sometimes say that, you know, like you hear these stories of, like, you know, people who come to the great ulama and whatnot, and they say that sometimes we can see the change of night and day. And it's not just a physical thing. Like, these are entities which God has created. The second verse is also from Surah Al-Furqan. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. It is He who has made the night as a covering and sleep as a subat. I'm going to explain what subat means. And He has made the daytime a recall to life. Now, Allah says that He made nawm or sleep as a subat. What is subat? Subat, you have heard of the word sabt. Sabt is Saturday, the day is Saturday. Now, in the Quran, we see that when it came to the day of rest for the Bani Israel, that day was the day of sabt. Why is that? Because sabt comes from the root word of rest. It's a time of, you know, basically finding peace and finding rest. And subata means the same thing. Allah says that He created nawm, He created sleep, and He made it a subat. He made it to be a source of comfort and rest. Okay, that's an important point. We're going to get back to that, inshallah. And then one other verse from Surah Ar-Rum, where Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. From among the signs of Allah is your sleeping at night and the day, and you're seeking Allah's rizq in it. So here Allah is referring to sleep as one of His signs. One of the signs of God is found in sleep. Now if we look at what these verses are telling us, there are some general themes, some general principles that we can come up with. And these are very important when it comes to now trying to understand how is one third of our life, how is that supposed to be fit into the lifestyle that we're having? Because after all, we're trying to seek out, you know, this lifestyle. We have to understand, you know, how is it, what kind of principles has the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt given us? And then how have we been influenced to have a certain approach towards these things? And what can we do to move closer to the ideal that the Ahlul Bayt have laid out for us? So inshallah, you can help me with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So point number one is that we see from these verses that sleep is supposed to be a source of comfort for us. Many times when people look at, they approach sleep from an Islamic basis, they say that, okay, we know that there are many hadith which warn us against sleeping too much. There are hadith, for example, which say that if somebody oversleeps like regularly, they just then they are removing themselves from being subject to Allah's special love, right? And many other ahadith where such people are condemned. Those are important to keep in mind. There are sometimes when somebody is, you know, very, let's say, you know, they don't have a purpose in life, you know, they're not driven towards anything, and they just, you know, just linger in bed and basically sleep, and they don't have any purpose. And that type of approach to life, of course, is not the approach of a believer. A believer has a purpose. A believer uses their waking hours for useful means and purposes. But here in the verses, Allah talks about sleep as being a source of comfort. And, you know, we can think about when people go on vacation, why do they do that? They say, okay, I'm going on vacation, I want to get away, right? I'm going to relax. Right, I've been really stressed at work, so I need to get away. Well, here Allah says that there's something here for you on every single day, where it's supposed to be a kind of mini vacation for you, where that same type of feeling of that kind of getting away and being relaxed, it's supposed to be occurring for you. But when we look at the lifestyle choices people are making in general, I just want to quote some statistics. Up to 45%, some statistics say that up to 45% of people have chronic fatigue. Chronic. And this is something, again, which is not just limited to people out there, right? These people who, you know, are our families and our relatives, our friends, our communities, similar percentages are also affected by this. Another statistic is that in recent times, adult sleep has decreased by 30%. Than it was before. 30%, and you know reasons why, right? For example, things like devices, right? These are changing the way that we actually live our lives, 30%. And because of, you know, the types of medical sort of problems that are occurring in the population, they've been doing a lot of research on sleep in recent decades. Some of the conclusions they came up with is that, first of all, that there are studies that suggest that when somebody doesn't sleep enough, especially when they are teenagers, then what happens is that it is a future predictor for major depression and anxiety, not sleeping enough. They say that some studies show that if people don't get 6 to 7 hours of sleep every night, it doubles their risk for cancer. Okay, and when we look at what happens during sleep, right, there's a cycle that goes on. And you know that at the end of that cycle, there's something called REM sleep, rapid eye movement. That's the time when somebody is basically just, you know, totally zonked out, right? And, you know, if you go to them at that time, try to wake them up, they're just totally in a different world. And perhaps, like when Allah talks about, I didn't quote all the verses, Allah talks about sleep in many verses of the Quran beyond just the ones that I mentioned. But in one of them, he says that he's the one who takes away your soul, whether you know, when you go to sleep and whether you die, it's the same process. He takes away your soul, and then for the one, you know, he wants to return it to, that's the one who's just sleeping. But otherwise, he'll just take it away, and then that's it. You're done with this world. So perhaps that matches with the REM cycle, where somebody's, you know, now their mind is very active during that time. And they say that during that time, what happens is that there is a mix, there's a sort of a fusion of past and present knowledge. Like things are coming together for somebody in their brain at that time. What else is happening is that there's healing of emotional wounds that take place in the REM cycle. So somebody, you know, went through certain traumatic incidents, let's say that day, right? They were hurt by this person. They were, you know, they were embarrassed, right? They were disappointed. They were stressed. They got anxious. Now in their sleep, these are wounds which are being attended to. Just like in our body when, you know, we have wounds, what happens? We go to sleep and then in the morning we wake up and it's like a miracle, right? This is part of the job of sleep, is to heal those wounds. So when we look at, you know, yes, it's a case that sleeping too much is condemned, but the Quran is telling us that there is a purpose behind what sleep is supposed to accomplish. It's supposed to be a source of giving you that type of like relaxation, that comfort that you need. And when you combine that with modern medical findings, you see that, okay, this is something which is extremely important. This is one of the issues which people who have depression can be afflicted with, meaning that they're not taking care of their sleep needs. Either they're not having the right sleep etiquette, or they're just simply not giving themselves enough chance to sleep. So that's principle number one about sleep being subat, a source of comfort and a type of rest. Now, number two has to do with this alternation of night and day. And this is very interesting. The sleep is linked to the night and day. In the Quran, Allah is talking about that. Now, what is that tied to when it comes to, like, how do they describe that in modern terminology? Actually, it's not modern, but there's been a renewed interest in it in recent times. It's called the circadian rhythms. Right? What is that? It's many living things, their bodies, like their minds, they operate according to a certain rhythm which is defined by the world around them. For example, you know, how is it that you have the changing of the colors of the leaves on the trees? It's linked to the circadian rhythms. You know, when the amount of daylight is reduced, then suddenly the tree is triggered into, like, you know, starting to conserve its energy for the winter. The human body also operates according to a certain rhythm. What happens is that when the body senses darkness, there is a chemical that's produced called melatonin in the brain. And that chemical is the reason for somebody feeling drowsy and then wanting to sleep. Now, brothers and sisters, it's very interesting how Allah is describing that sleep is linked to this khilfa, this sort of alternation between day and night. And if we just step back and look at it from a spiritual perspective, you know, here it is that Allah created all these different, you know, organisms, all this whole world, everything, even the night and day. Yes, scientifically, night is the absence of sunlight, but from a ontological perspective, from a philosophical perspective, from a Quranic perspective, day and night are actually creations of God. Like, if God did not create night, there would not be night. And all of these things operate according to a certain rhythm, right? Maybe we could say, and what's the word that we could use to appreciate this? You know how in the physical world we have like a dance, right? When people want to get together, they start dancing, right? Right? What do? They have a certain rhythm that's playing, and then everyone starts moving according to that rhythm, right? On a spiritual world, it's as if all these living things are operating according to like the spiritual dance. Where is that tune being played? It's being played by the Creator. It's not up to us to play that tune. whether we like it or not, we're forced to abide by that tune that's being played. And this is something which, you know, it's very beautiful, but it also teaches us something as well. We're not in charge of making ourselves sleep. We're not in charge of keeping ourselves awake. This is something that our body is programmed to do. But what we can do is try to understand more about this type of rhythm that's there and try to appreciate it and try to, you know, sort of make sure that the lifestyle choices we make are in accordance with that rhythm. So that's why if you look at what, you know, those doctors, those scientists who are researching what is it that we can do to improve the mental health of our communities, they say that, look, at one of the most effective things to do is to pay attention to the cycle of melatonin and realize that there's a reason why God makes it dark and he says that the nighttime is a time for your sleep. There's a reason for it because that's the way your body is programmed to feel sleepy at night. But what lifestyle choices have we made in recent times to prevent that? It's the choices of being in front of devices. What they say is that if you want to actually have a healthy night of sleep, 60 to 90 minutes before you go to sleep, you should not be exposed to bright lights, including the light that comes from a screen. Now, I'm somebody who I've had an opportunity to work with, you know, children and youth, alhamdulillah. I can say that one of the outcomes of the pandemic has been a sleep crisis in children and teenagers. Why? Because many who before were not being exposed to devices, now they have regular access to devices. And we have parents who are like, my child is up, we put them to sleep at 10 o'clock, they're up until midnight, they can't go to sleep. Well, okay, how much device exposure do they have? When is it the last time that they actually look at a screen? Like these people who have PhDs and scientists and all that, they say that like even the best you can do, dim your lights in your home. If you need to have lights, then have like lights which don't have blue lights, because all these LED lights have blue lights which mimic the effect of the sunlight and keep you awake, prevent you from having that melatonin. And they say that as much as possible, try to spend time outdoors. Why? Because that sunlight has an effect where it will help you then at night. Spend that time outdoors in the daytime. At nighttime, it'll be easier for you to have that type of quality sleep. Now, somebody can just ignore this and say that, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to do whatever, right? But then it's like, well, okay, here, these are things which could actually affect, you know, the well-being, the future well-being of yourself and your children. Now, the third and final principle I want to mention, which is, again, based on the, you know, the ayat that we mentioned, is that sleep is mentioned as a sign of Allah. What does it mean for sleep to be a sign of Allah? Right? One of the ways is we can understand this is that when we look at sleep, again, from a philosophical perspective, we're like, what does it teach us? Well, one of the things it teaches us is that we are very weak. We are weak. We might try as hard as we can to say that, okay, I'm just going to do things my way. Right? I'll set my own bedtime if I even have a bedtime. Right? I'll do whatever I want at night. I'm going to ignore, you know, whatever system that's in place. But eventually, it's going to catch up to us. And then what are we going to say? We're going to say that, you know what? Actually, I am the one who is weak and you are the one who is strong. Sometimes we human beings, we try to act like God. Right? What do we say about Allah? We say, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. He is not one to be taken by sleep, not even like a nodding off. You know, when somebody's kind of drowsy, they're kind of nodding off. Allah doesn't even have that, let alone does he sleep. Sometimes human beings say that, I'm ta'akhudhi sinatun wa la nawm. Like, I'm not going to be affected by these things either. And what happens is problems occur later on. Why is it that we see that in the seerah of the prophets and the imams and the du'as that they teach us, they say that when about sleep, respect it. Use it as an opportunity to ground yourself, to put yourself in your place with respect to the Creator. Right? There's one time somebody just, you know, is watching Netflix until they're so tired, they just put their phone aside and they just lie down and they're asleep. There's another time when they take the path of the Ahlul Bayt and they say, what did the Ahlul Bayt used to do? before they would go to sleep, they would inevitably, they would spend time looking back at their day and saying, now this is the end of a day, right? I don't know if I'm going to live to tomorrow. What did I do today? How was I? I had a goal to meet. Was I able to meet that? If I did, alhamdulillah, Allah helped me to do even better. But if I wasn't, astaghfirullah, I'm accountable for myself. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, laysa minna man lam yuhasib nafsahu fi kulli layla. One who does not take account of himself or herself every night is not from us, the Ahlul Bayt. They don't have our lifestyle. That lifestyle of like, let me just, you know, kind of push myself to the maximum extent and then just collapse on my bed. That's not the lifestyle of the Ahlul Bayt. Now beyond that, brothers and sisters, is this tendency that we have in our communities, in the society, of trying to be like this type of superman or superwoman. And I'm talking specifically here to particularly, you know, our young adults. And in particular to our young sisters especially, but also it applies to the brothers as well. Where sometimes we have this false perception of what it means to be a successful person. Success is defined by my blazing through the corporate ladder or blazing through the academic ladder. I have to reach the top. I have to get those titles. I have to get those accomplishments and I need to tell the world about them. And in the process, what am I going to burn? Sometimes you see this cycle of somebody who's not equipped to deal with that type of lifestyle. What do? Right? They start cutting their sleep. So then you see, right? Before, you know, they used to live a balanced life. And now what do? Is they cut the sleep. Now they need to be awake. So what do? They start taking caffeine, coffee, right? More coffee, late night snacking, complex carbohydrates. And then it becomes a cycle where they depend on that more and more and more. And you look at them progress. Yes, they're making their way through those, whatever it is, degrees and whatnot. Now, I'm not one who's against, you know, going for degrees and pushing ourselves academically and trying to attain, you know, that's something that I firmly believe in. I myself am, you know, I'm an advocate of that. I'm involved in education. But everything has its balance and its limit. This person, what happens is they get to the point where they reach burnout. Some of our brothers and sisters who are involved with helping people with mental health issues, they say that typically we see these people in the month of Ramadan where they come to us and they say that, brother, sister, we can't fast anymore. We just can't do it. Because when you fast, our body just falls apart. Right? Or they come and they say that we had a breakdown. Right? What happened? Right? They got to the point where that cycle broke down on them. There was a cycle already in place, but they were ignoring it. And instead, they said that, no, we want to aspire to this sometimes false notions of what it means to be successful, and in the process, we burn ourselves out. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand what our responsibilities are, what our priorities are. For example, and I'm mentioning this in particular, raising children itself is one of the most honorable and one of the most noble and one of the hardest things that you can do. It takes a lot of energy and time to do it properly. We don't care what other people, what value other people, how they grade that responsibility. When you look at it from the Islamic perspective, it's one of the highest, most noble things that somebody can do to say that I am involved with the process of doing tarbiyah of a child. Now, let's say somebody is occupied with that and they're feeling so much pressure that they have to, you know, keep on moving up that ladder, right? And then they start cutting on some of these other things. They might end up harming not only themselves, but others as well in the process. We have to understand what our responsibilities are. We have to understand what our priorities are. We have to understand our limitations. Embrace those limitations, right? Lead a life where we understand those boundaries. Otherwise, what could happen is that not only do we affect others, not only affect our physical, but also we affect our spirituality as well. You see these people who sometimes they can't even fast in the month of Ramadan because they push themselves way too far. I'm saying these brothers and sisters, again, the connection is the connection to leading a lifestyle. We have to understand how certain elements in our society have pushed us away from living a fitri life, a life which is in accordance to the way that we've been created. Remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he's asked, how did he enter the morning? Right? He says that I entered it in this way. Perhaps that's because of these practices. You know, the Ahlul Bayt, I forgot to mention, so when they would go to sleep, they would always go to sleep having done muhasabah of themselves. They would go to sleep, they would recommend to us, do wudu. The first thing that our Prophet ﷺ would do when he would wake up is that he would fall into sujood. He acknowledges that Allah is the one who's in charge. Why? Because one of the things that we're taught when we wake up in the morning is that we're not that necessary to this world after all. Right? Everything's still fine. The world's still running. We weren't needed to keep it running. We're not God. There is a God who's in charge. Not only that, if we could leave and we could be not part of the world during that time, then there's going to come a time when we can permanently leave this world and things are still going to be okay. Isn't that humbling? It's very humbling. And when we go into sujood, he says, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'da ma'amatani wa ilayhi nushur. All praise belongs to Allah who has brought me to life after He caused me to die, because sleep is the brother of death, and to Him is the resurrection. Right, these are things which, these etiquette are things which teach us the type of lifestyle we want to have. They're deeper than just making a dua and going into sujood. It teaches us a whole approach to these types of nourishing essentials. Inshallah, we can use these type of teachings that we have, these principles, and think about our lives and see what can we do to bring our lifestyle closer to the ideal that has been set out for us in the Quran and in the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Please recite salawat. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are going to, inshallah, cover the story of the martyrdom of a son, of a child, of his father. You know, brothers and sisters, when we look at the story of Karbala, there's so many things that we can learn from it. One of the incredible teachings that we see in the interaction of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with his children is this type of love and respect and the type of relationship which really, it gives us so much hope and so much inspiration. We know that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are our role models, and we see in the example of children like Ali Akbar, how is it that somebody should be with their parents? What type of respect they need to have for them? And as we, inshallah, cry and we mourn for them, alhamdulillah, we're blessed with a lot of our precious children in our audience, and even those of us who are not children, we still are children to our parents. Let's think about this, that what can we do to better perform our responsibilities towards our parents? The second point I want to mention before going into the musibah is that here we're going to see a type of trial that our beloved Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to be going through, which is really unparalleled. You know, it's one time for somebody to lose their parents who are older than them. I mean, it happens. That's part of life. It's the circle of life that eventually our parents are going to become elderly and they're going to leave this world. But here we see that the parent is going to see his child leaving this world before him. Why is this happening? We're told in a hadith that when Allah loves a servant of His, then He tries them. They're tried, they're tested to see if that faith they have is something real or it's just something which is lip service. And when Allah really loves somebody, then He tries them in a very severe way. And the person who's narrating the hadith says that I asked, what does that mean? And the response came that He tries them by taking away all their wealth and all their children from them as well. Sallallahu alayka ya أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيد الشهداء صلى الله عليك يا سفينة النجاة صلى الله عليك أيها المقتول بأرض كربلاء عطشانا. Peace and blessings be upon you, O Master of all martyrs, O son of Ali and Zahra, O the one who was killed on the desert sand under the sun, while his lips were thirsty. Peace and blessings be upon you, O Hussein, and upon your family and your companions who were with you and who gave all they had for your sake and your mission. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza ma'akum fawzan azima. If only we could be with you, O Hussein, O Shuhada of Karbala, and attain that great victory along your side. Peace and blessings be upon Ali ibn al-Hussein al-Akbar. Peace be upon Ali Akbar, Imam Hussein's beloved son. On the way to Karbala, at one point, Ali al-Akbar was riding near his father. He heard his father suddenly say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." He goes to his father concerned, "Oh my dear father, is anything wrong?" He tells him that, "I saw a vision, I heard a cry. I was told that you are hurrying along, you are speeding along. But while you are doing that, death is coming to overtake you and to take you to paradise." What is Ali al-Akbar's response to that? He asks his father, "Alasna ala al-haq? Are we not on the path of truth?" His father tells him that, "Yes, indeed, we are on the path of truth." What is his response? "Idhan la nubali bil maut." If that's the case, then we are not at all fearful of death. We embrace death if that's what it takes to follow the path of truth. That's why we see on the day of Ashura that the companions, after they had given their sacrifice, the first amongst the members of the Ahlul Bayt to go and seek permission to go to the battlefield is the very son of Imam Hussein, Ali al-Akbar. The companions would not have allowed the Ahlul Bayt to go before them. But after the departure of the likes of Habib and Muslim and Zuhair, now it comes time for Imam Hussein's own family. Who is this young man who is seeking permission to go to the battlefield? He is somebody who everyone knows about, who everyone respects. Why is that? Because he was the one who, in every aspect, in the way he looked, in the way he talked, in the way he behaved, he was closest to Rasulullah. He was an embodiment of the Messenger of Allah,
the one whom Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. This is the one who is going to seek permission from Imam Hussein to go to the battlefield. What is Imam Hussein supposed to say? His son is doing exactly what he raised him to do. He is fighting for the truth. He is showing bravery at the time when bravery is needed. So when he seeks permission, فَأَذِنَ لَهُ, he gives him that permission right away. But you know, the human heart, it can have conflicting emotions in it. When Ali al-Akbar is walking towards the battlefield, he is riding towards the battlefield. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ نَظَرَ آيَسٍ مِنْ, he looks at him with a look of despair. His eyes began to be filled with tears. Imam Hussein alayhi salam raises his blessed head to the sky. Some narrations say that he holds his blessed beard in his hand out of sign of humility. What is he saying? Allahumma shahad, O Allah, bear witness that the one who is going towards them is the one who most resembles Rasulullah in the way he looks, in the way he speaks, in his akhlaq. Whenever, oh Allah, the same way that Umar ibn Sa'd is cutting off my family from me, cut off his progeny. After all, the one who is going to attack the embodiment of Rasulullah deserves to be deprived of Allah's mercy. This son of Hussein, this grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib, is now entering the battlefield. The enemy hears the cry, Ana Ali ibn al-Hussein ibn Ali, Nahnu wa baytillahi أولى بالنبي أما ترون كيف أحمي عن أبي. I am Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali. We, by the sake of the house of Allah, are those who are closest to the messenger, to the prophet. Do you not see how I am here to protect my father? How is the son of Ali and the son of Hussein, how is he now fighting the enemy? They cannot stop him. Everywhere he goes, they are forced to retreat. But it is the hot day in the desert. He is fighting alone. They have been deprived of water. How much can he fight? Suddenly we see an amazing scene. The son who had left his father is now coming back to his father. He is not scared of the enemy, but he wants to, after all, visit his father one more time. This is his last ziyarah of the Imam of his time. Ya Abati, Al-Atashu qad qatalani, wa thiqlu al-hadidi qad ajhadani. Fahal, oh my father, this armor is oppressing me. My thirst is killing me. If only there was a way that I could get some water. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comforts his son. He tells him that, oh my son, go back and fight. It's just a matter of time before your thirst will be quenched forever. Your grandfather is waiting for you in the next world. He will give you something after which you will no longer suffer. Ali Akbar goes back to the battlefield. He fights again. But this one young man is all alone. The enemy realizes that this is the opportunity. They can take down Imam Hussein's only son who's there. He's fighting in the battlefield. They surround him. They go and attack him. Munqidh, he takes the spear in his hand. He launches the spear. The spear strikes the body of Ali al-Akbar. What happens at this point? Ali Akbar is on the horse. It seems that the horse is confused because of the commotion. But where is the horse going to? Is it returning to the tents of the Imam? No, it's going towards the enemy soldiers. The son cries out, he says, "Oh my father, assalamu alaik ya abata." This is the grandson, this is my grandfather. He's telling me, Ajila, come towards us. We have something for you. Your thirst will be quenched after this. The horse takes Ali Akbar towards the enemy. They raise their swords. What did they do with that? فَقَتَلُوهُ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is watching what is happening. I don't know how, but somehow he makes his way to the side of his son. Perhaps he might have taken his son as in his hands. He might have called out, "Oh Ali, oh my son." May Allah curse them for what they have done to you. على الدنيا بعدك العفا. This world is not worth living in after this. And then the maqatil say that the father takes his blessed cheek, he places it on the cheek of his own son. But there is somebody else who is watching what is taking place. Who is it? It's the sister of Imam Hussein. Suddenly Imam Hussein hears her cry out, "Wa habiba wa abna amma wa aliya." Oh my nephew, oh my beloved nephew, oh Ali. Zainab rushes to the side, but Imam Hussein has to take her away. Perhaps he doesn't want her to see what they did to him with their swords. La la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa say'anamu al-labeen wa zalamu ayyamun qalimin yanqalibun. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Allah, accept this majlis from us. Accept these tears from us. Wa Allah, allow us to always be the mourners of Imam Hussein. And if this is the last Muharram that we are going to be allowed to participate in such gatherings, then count us as eternal mourners of Imam Hussein. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of the Imam of our time. O Allah, help those who are oppressed, especially our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Yemen, elsewhere. O Allah, by the sake of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, help them. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Brothers and sisters, inshallah, there will be two latmiyas. First of them will be by one of the younger youth. Inshallah, she will be coming up shortly. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نحن نواسي الزهراء في ليالي عاشوراء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء نروي سيرة الحسين فوق أرض كربلاء صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
O Hussein, in our hearts burns your flame. We live and die by your name, O Hussein. O Hussein, in our hearts burns your flame. We live and die by your name, O Hussein. O Hussein. In our hearts burns your flame. We live and die by your name, O Hussein. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eyes, O Hussein. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eyes, O Hussein. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eyes, O Hussein. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eyes, O Hussein. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eyes, O Hussein. For you everything we give, for you our lives, O Hussein. For you everything we give, for you our lives. O Hussein, following the Shuhada, caravan of love, Mawla. Following the Shuhada, caravan of love, Mawla. Our banners can be seen from the skies above, Mawla. Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah. Didn't Zainab say she saw nothing but beauty? Didn't Qasim say death is sweeter than honey? Didn't Zainab say she saw nothing but beauty? Didn't Qasim say death is sweeter than honey? Running from tent to tent, fires burning every tent. Running from tent to tent, fires burning every tent. We hear your voice, Hussein. Hal min nasir yansurna, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah. Cut a thousand pieces of my frail body. Cut a thousand pieces of my frail body. Every single pain makes us closer to Mahdi. Cut a thousand pieces of my frail body. Every single pain makes us closer to Mahdi. We are the sons of Zahra, our hearts are with Hawra. Surely our promise remains, so we call to our Mawla. Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eye, O Hussein. For you everything we give, for you our lives, O Hussein. For you are cries, O Hussein, tears in our eyes, O Hussein. For you everything we give, for you our lives, O Hussein. Following the Shuhada, caravan of love, Mawla. Following the Shuhada, caravan of love, Mawla. Our banners can be seen from the skies above, Mawla. Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Ya Mawla, Thar Allah, Thar Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. All together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
اللهم كل لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، ولياً وحافظاً وقائداً وناصراً وذليلاً وعيناً، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعاً وتمتعه فيها طويلاً برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Zainab has fallen, Hussein's back broken. Oh dear uncle, you are our chosen. Has the flag fallen? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein. No need for water, I want my uncle. You left with two arms, returned with no arms, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas.